Morning. Our reading this morning is taken from the book of 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to read from verse 12 through to verse 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 26. The body is a unit, though it's made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I don't need you." And the head cannot say to the feet, "I don't need you." On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. And if one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Praise be to God.
Thank you, Carol. Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to see you. And, we're continuing this morning. We've begun a series a couple of weeks ago about the church. What does God think of the church? What does the Bible say about the church? How do we respond to being the church? So we're going to continue looking at that this morning. Our theme is the church's mosaic. Last week, Dave spoke about the church being moulded. Today, we're looking at the church as mosaic. I don't know if you can see any mosaics around you at all, but we have a few in the church. Are you allowed to point them out or say it's up there? There's one right behind me. A while ago when we were building this place, these pieces were commissioned. So there's the cross up there, and I don't know if you've ever seen it, but in the ceiling behind you, there's three different pictures. Two of them are the flames of the Holy Spirit, and one of them is the dove of the Holy Spirit. They're going to be on screen in a moment, so you'll see them there as well. So, Catherine and I went to the place where these were made. They're made in an abbey by monks, Buckfast Abbey down in Devon. It's famous for faceted glass mosaics. It's also famous for a certain extra strong wine tonic, which is a kind of a famous as well, but the monks get up to all sorts of things. But faceted glass mosaics is one of them. But when I said, "Is there a mosaic in church?" I wasn't looking at those. I was looking at you. I was looking at you. Because amazingly, God has put us together. And when you make a mosaic, you use all different colours and all different shapes. These are chunks of glass, and they're kind of cut and broken, but they're then set in resin to make the picture that the monks want to make or they've been commissioned to make. It's well worth a visit if you're ever down there on holiday. They have a sister chapel, and the whole of one wall is one of these faceted glass mosaics with Christ welcoming you to the table. It's fantastic. You sit there worshipping and it's there in front of you. But the reason I was looking at you is because God has brought us all together. All different, brightly coloured, beautiful chunks. Sorry, that's not an insult. It's brought us together to make us his people as the mosaic of the church. So we're going to look at some of the things that come out of this Bible reading we've had, that come out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, because in this passage, Paul again is writing to the church in Corinth and saying, this is who you are, this is who God is making you. Now you've got to know that the Corinthian church wasn't that much of a united church. The first part of 1 Corinthians seems to be like Paul is writing to answer some of the things that they're falling out about. Chapter 10 and then into chapter 11, he's saying, gosh, you're even falling out when it comes to taking the Lord's Supper, when you come to the Last Supper. I mean, it's just amazing how disunited you are. And some were coming and having the Last Supper or the Lord's Supper as a feast, and some were coming and experiencing a famine. Some were coming to getting drunk at the Lord's table, and some weren't getting anything to drink. I mean, that's unity for you. And Paul says, no, it can't be like that. And then equally it came to chapter 12, and people were coming and Paul was saying, look, when it comes to living out the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the special gifts God has given you so you can serve him together in unity, Paul says, it seems like you're falling apart at the seams even over that. So Paul's trying to draw the church together and appeal to the church and say, hey, come on. There's something greater than you having your way and you having your way. There's something greater than just, it's all about you. So this passage, the first thing Paul says is that when it comes to God uniting his church, one of the first things he does is he gives the gift of the presence of the Holy Spirit. And when you know the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life, Paul then says, number one, you will acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord. But then the impact or the effect of that, the effect of the presence of God in you, is that it will unite us in love. It will bring us together. When we're experiencing God, we don't stand there saying, well, I'm experiencing God and it's 10 times better than your experience. And it's 50 times better than yours. Or, I've experienced God in this way. You put your hands in the air and he fills you with his power. And somebody else says, no, that's not how I experience God. I need to be sitting quiet and, you know, kind of away from all the noise. And no, you can't experience God like that. Paul says, no, if you experience the power and the presence and the grace and the love of God, the Holy Spirit, it will actually unite you in love. So we don't fall out with each other over who or how or what is the way we experience God. Not just that, Paul writes, when the Holy Spirit is at work in the church, one of the ways you're experiencing him, that he'll give a passion, he'll stir a passion in your heart. Oh, we just sung that, haven't we? Wonder why. He'll stir a passion in your heart because part of living for God, part of loving each other, will mean that we serve. And Paul begins to write about gifts, different kinds of gifts. Some are gifts of worship that help us worship. Some are gifts of service that help us get stuck in to make things happen. But he says, number one, you'll be united in love. Then secondly, you'll be united in service. But above everything, Paul writes, when the Holy Spirit comes, he sees who we are, he sees our need, he sees our abilities, he sets us on fire to serve him, and that comes together, so actually we bless each other. The phrase he uses, it's for the common good. You read that in the first part of this chapter. This mosaic of God's people comes together, and we begin to bless each other as we serve for the common good. Then it moves on and we get to the bit that Carol read. And if there's ever a kind of a bit that needs acting out, and I'm not going to act it out this morning, or drawing as a cartoon, Paul uses two very funny ways of trying to describe what it's like when people in the church say, well, I'm different, I'm better, and you're worse, or you don't fit. And he uses a thing, first of all, when he says that the hand cannot say to the foot, I don't need you. And it's a crazy kind of illustration, but imagine you, you're the hand in the church, and you think, well, I don't like this lot, I've fallen out with Fullwood Free Methodist Church, I'm going. And I'm going to go and sit at the back, I'm going to stay there, and I'm not going to move, and I'm off. Paul says, the hand can't say to the foot, I don't need you. You can't do that. It doesn't work like that. Amputations are not allowed, is what Paul's saying. You can't do a self-amputation. Now, I tried the other week. I stuck my finger in a woodwork lathe, and it doesn't work. It just tried to whip my finger off, and Dr. Steve said it must have been a bit like skinning a banana. It certainly was. So when Robert Walsh was preaching here about science and light, I was sat in A&E bemoaning my pain. But anyway, you can't self-amputate. Well, you can, but Paul said, don't amputate yourself from the body of Christ. The hand can't say to the foot, I don't need you. You can't walk away. Paul says, if you are a Christian, if God the Holy Spirit has come into your life, then part of the definition of who you are now is that you're a member, you're a part of the body of Jesus Christ. In verse 18 it says, God has arranged the parts of the body. And I've changed it slightly. I put every one of you just as he wanted you to be. He has taken the chunky, brightly coloured, beautiful facet of who you are, and he's stuck you into his body so you can bless other people with the grace and the love and the service that Jesus Christ calls for from us. Dave spoke last week from Ephesians, a very, very similar passage in some respects, and the last bit of that says that we grow up when we serve. That maturity happens to us when we serve and give ourselves to serve others. And he says, and when that happens, we actually stick to each other in love as each part does its work. We're joined together. Ligaments are joined to bones so that skeletons can become flesh and stand up and be productive and useful. So we can't say, I don't need you. Because it's like snapping away from the body of Jesus Christ. Amputations are not allowed. But then he moves on to a different picture and he says, what if the whole body were an eye? What would that look like? What if the whole body were an ear? What would that look like? I mean, you know, Paul's using very comical, you're meant to laugh. And very comical pictures here. And I don't know if you kind of thought about that, but just imagine a little ear running around like that, you know, and you're saying, can you see that? And the little ear says, I can hear you, but I can't see you. And there's a little eye running around and you say to the eye, can you hear what God's saying to you? He says, no, I can see, but I can't hear you. Paul says that doesn't happen either. In order for the body to be whole, W-H-O-L-E, in order for the body to be whole, it needs seeing and hearing and touching and tasting and smelling and feeling and heartbeat and breath and life and wonder and love. That's coming from God's presence in us and through us to unite us to each other. So Paul uses these two different kind of pictures that are very comical to say, doesn't work unless we're ready to say, I want to be a part, I want to be involved. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? And he goes on to kind of say, therefore, you can't fall out with the body. Yeah, you might have your differences, but ultimately, you are totally interdependent on each other. The way God has designed the church is so that in love, together, we become blazing glory. We become light and love to the world around us. One of the worst things that people say about the church again and again and again is that, well, I used to go to church, but they were so nasty, or they were so falling out with each other, I got fed up and I walked away. Well, it's tragic that people walk away. But when people's experience of church is love less, grace less, then they're going to walk away. We're meant to be here, recognizing that we are uniquely indispensable to each other, and we're brought together by God. We can't fall out with our body. And so Paul then goes on to say in verse 25 that there can be no division in the body. Each part has got to have equal concern for the other. Now, I don't know about you, but when it comes to being part of the body, we can say, well, we know who's got gifts and we know who's got graces. And then some of us say, well, you know, I'm just a hidden part. I'm a nothing. Do you do that? And then I'm a bit frightened to say this, but some of us just sit there and we fold our arms. And by doing that, we're kind of saying, I'm step back. So, and Paul's folded his arms, but he's listening, I can see. And he's smiling, and he's usually playing the flute, so his arms aren't folded. But it's that attitude of heart, isn't it? We can't come to church with folded arms saying, I'm sat back. We've got to come with open arms saying, how can I serve? How can I fulfill what God has put in me for his part in the body? Jesus said it powerfully in a different way. In John's gospel, where he said, by this all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. So when it comes to this passage that Carol read, we can't sit on the sidelines. There's no way can we say, well, it's okay for them, they're getting stuck in, but I just don't feel that I've got a role to fulfill. I don't feel that I've got a part to play. I don't feel that there's anything here for me. And all the time we're doing that, we're actually taking a step back and away. All the time we're doing that, we're saying, I've got nothing to give here. And as we do that, we're actually fading further and further into the background. And that's not church. You've missed who you're meant to be in Jesus Christ. God loves this world so much that he wants to make us this blazing, glory-filled, grace-filled, loving mosaic that people come and look and go, wow. Wow, I want to be part of this. And I wonder if this morning, maybe you're in a place where you think, well, I don't quite know how I fit. Some of us would love to sit down and have a coffee with you. People come to me sometimes and they say, I just don't know where I should be in the church. And I have what I call my open checkbook question. I know checkbooks are getting a bit dated now, but I just say, look, if you could write on an open check anything you'd like to do in the church, except my job, what would you write? And sometimes I go, well, I love children. Well, okay, let's write children on the checkbook. And I love teenagers. And that's it. I'm like, how could you love teenagers? No. Let's write teenagers on the checkbook. I love serving coffee. Let's write coffee serving on the checkbook. Some people say, I can play an instrument, but let's write that. And then let's pray and see where God's going to lead you. Because God's heart is that you find a place, you find a fit, and he's turning you around with your beautiful chunk of faceted glass that you are and saying, this is where you fit. This is how you can serve. Now the big question is, will you let him do that? Will you let him do that? We live in a world where there's a real concern for mental health issues. And some of us have battled from different times in our life with those things. And one of the great problems with mental health difficulties is that we can turn inwards so deeply that the world becomes entirely about me and my difficulties and my battles and my sorrows and my need for counseling. All those things are very, very real. But you know, one of the best steps towards new mental health may be that you say, in spite of where I am and what I feel and what I'm going through, I'm going to serve. One of the best ways is not to make it all about you, though sometimes it can be about your issues, but is to say, beyond myself, I'm going to step up and serve. And it may be sometimes you serve through tears, you serve through heartache or heartbreak, but still to step up and serve may be one of the best things you can do in beginning to deal with some of the battles that you face internally. So just as we come to kind of wrap this up a little bit, can I ask a couple of questions? Are you open and eager? Later on in these passages, Paul says, eagerly desire the greater gifts. So are you open and eager? Are you in a place where you're saying, God, use me? Have we got folded arms saying, nope, that's not for me, I'm stepping back? Are you in a place where you're open and eager? Are you in a place where you're waiting and willing? Paul writes in chapter 14, eagerly desire these gifts. Be waiting, asking God and being willing to listen and see and hear what God wants to say to you and for you so that you can serve. Expect the Holy Spirit will come and that he will gift you, he will empower you, he will give you his grace so that you're saying, yeah, I'm going to serve, I'm going to step up to serve. And then you actually do it. You get off your backside. You stand up and you say, I'm going to serve. Now, some of us might say, well, all I feel I can do is serve a cup of coffee. Serve a cup of coffee then. All I think I can do is turn up and I don't know, I can get involved in Family Fun Day. Get involved in Family Fun Day then. Ducking ducks or sitting on a stool and get yourself drenched, but get involved. We need people to step up to serve. It may be that it's beyond Fullwood. So many people here serve God in so many different ways. Street pastors, Cedar House. Serving God in your own place of work. But whatever you do, will you live with an eager heart, an open heart, waiting on God the Holy Spirit, and then finally giving yourself up? Because that's what it takes. It's not about me. It's not about me. It's not about you. It is about others and it is about us stepping up to serve. So as we kind of reflect on this, I've got a bit of an exercise for us. I don't know if you look around in the morning, but here is a picture of our logo. It should be at least twice as big as this. I thought it was big enough, but it doesn't feel like it is. So that's our logo, and this is covered in sticky back plastic. Okay? So I've already started it, so I've had a good do, and I've put the cross in. Simply because I wanted to make sure that was done properly, right? Okay. No, I put the cross in, so that just gives you a clue about how it does. And all I want to do, when we're worshipping and singing in the last few songs towards the end of the service, I want you just to feel as and when, and maybe you're already serving, and you say, well, I don't need to. I would still love you to, but in these two baskets, there's some, I'll tell you what, I'll bring it a bit. Change it around a bit. In the baskets, there's some mosaics. And all you have to do is come and simply put yourself on here. But as you're doing it, you're praying, God, here am I. Use me. That's all you're doing. Maybe here in Fullwood. Maybe for the first time you're standing up and saying, God, here am I, use me. Or maybe for the 50th time, it doesn't matter. But just this morning, as a symbol to God and God the Holy Spirit, you're saying, I'm open and eager. I'm waiting. I'm willing. Holy Spirit, will you take a hold of me and use me? However broken I might be, however battered I might feel, or however blessed I am, will you take a hold of me and use me? And come and take one of these little pieces of glass and come and simply stick it wherever you want on the picture. It doesn't matter if it's a mess, okay? We're not looking for perfection this morning. So you stick it on there. We'll see how it goes, and we'll see whether the folk in the 11 o'clock service manage to get to finish it or not. But that's not the point. The point is, will you step up and say, God, here I am. Here I am, use me. Worship team, let's come, let's pray. Let's pray together. God, thank you that you have brought us together as church, that your passion is to make us a body. Your passion is to make us beautiful so that we shine with your grace, with your love, and that we reveal you to a world that needs to see Jesus in us. Unite us, Lord. You know, sometimes we find it really easy to define ourselves by our differences. Unite us, Lord. Unite us in grace. Unite us in service together. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.